butt sucking.
Nah, nigga.
Legit fat podcast.
Mega doo-doo.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Gay Hitler. All right, welcome back to Legit Bat. We are finally on because all these fucks are late today, but that's fine. Ben isn't
early.
Here. Cretched was here like 15 minutes ago. It's all on Chris, but it's fine. Boobs was here too. So to introduce the guests before we get going, we have Cretched from OBDM, the God of Fuck.
I am the God of Fuck.
See, told you.
I don't ever remember saying that.
Well, we have it forever in our soundboard.
That was AI. So that's been fake, deep fake.
I will have to actually do that. And then we have Skidmark, a.k.a. Sir Seat Suitor, a.k.a. Chris from Abs in a Six Pack. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? Good to be back.
Yeah, sir. It's been a while. And last but not least, we got Boobs, a.k.a. Booberry from Behind the Schemes. What's up, buddy?
How's it going? Doing well. Hope everybody's doing doing good out there. Some complimentary Palo Santo for everybody. Aw, yeah.
Does that get you high?
I wish.
Well, there's other things that can do that just as well, so it's fine. So we wanted to do this mainly because we've been trying to schedule guests again. It's been a while, as you all know. And Skidmark called into our favorite show, OBDM, a couple weeks ago. And the calls are usually, you know, in Cretched's mind, best under about 45 seconds. This one went a little longer.
Too long.
Yes. Wrap it up.
I agree. I'm right there with you, Cretched. As I'm listening, I'm like, okay, stop.
I can see
your point.
Well, if it goes too long, you can see Cretched's eyelids start to twitch, and then he starts looking up GIFs and everything. And
it gets bad. I just push this button, and you can't tell what I'm doing.
Oh, weird. You froze. How did you do that?
Hit the other button. It's freeze it.
I think Chris had the dumpster fire GIF going while I was talking on that call. Yeah, probably.
No, it was a great call. So I wanted to kick it off with that. And we can get into whatever you guys have. If you have articles or anything, but I liked where your call was going and it fits our show very well. Why don't you kind of, if you remember what you talked about, kind of go into that? Because you started out by saying like consciousness and the nature of reality. You either sound like a fucking retard when you talk about it, or you just kind of talk in circles. And we've talked about it a lot.
I think I did both.
Yep.
I'm guessing we sounded more like retards than anything else, but we like talking about it. So if you remember, or if you just want to riff on that, how did you start that?
I think I just made it up as I went. No, well,
we all do.
It's one of the, how do you start off on that? I think what triggered me to make that call was I heard Mike talking about, something along the lines of, you know, Mike was talking about the globalists. They have, essentially an idea that we live in a simulation. So they're just, yeah, shot collar on. That's a long story. I think his premise was the globalists have a really good idea of that this is a simulation or some kind of test, and so they're just trying to break the barriers and running all kinds of crazy experiments on people to see what works. Was I believe what Mike said.
So that's kind of my takeaway from it, is you were basically saying the globalists are right in their own way. And we've kind of argued that too, but not the way people would think. We're not saying they're right, but I get what you're saying. Like they've kind of got the same idea, but they're just going about it in a crazy genocidal manner. So Jen had some points she was bringing about last night, though, how everybody's kind of coming to the same conclusion that everything is kind of one. And that seems cheesy and you sound like a retard when you say it, but if you think about it and like extrapolate out from that it does make sense in a certain frame of reference. So.
Well, it's by design. I think we are born as individuals, obviously we are, but we're born to not even think of another person as possibly being part of us because we are separate from them. So that concept is right out the gate, completely ridiculous to even think about. And then it's also by design. To be able to talk about it sounds retarded. I mean, for lack of a better word, because they want you to not they or maybe the universe or whatever we're in wants us to be individuals because there's some sort of game that we're playing, or there's something we have to do where we have to achieve a certain goal as an individual, maybe.
We're not all born as individuals, because you have to rule, you're ruling out Siamese twins in that calculation.
They still are separate, though.
Yeah. Together.
They still have their own brain.
Yeah. I believe that term is outdated. It's actually
It's
probably offensive.
Siam doesn't exist anymore. That was a geography joke.
What do they call Siamese cats?
Asian cats.
Terrible creatures.
No, there's that story about that the Siamese twins. I don't know if it's true. It was on a meme, so it's probably true. But there was like two Siamese twins that were sharing an ass, and only one of them was gay.
Oh,
is that a true story?
Well,
that's fucked up.
If you read it on the internet, there's a high chance that it was probably accurate.
I'm gonna need a Venn diagram for that. I can't follow.
There's the two girls that have their show, and they just have two heads and one body, and one of the girls has a boyfriend, and the other doesn't. So
what's the name of their show? One Cup.
Do they share vaginas though?
Yes.
Oh, well, you're in it for the ride, sister. Sorry.
Do they trade?
I'm sure
off
she doesn't mind. She doesn't have to do anything. She just lays there and has zero.
She's like, I'm totally not into this.
Just describing a lot of women there, but
I think one thing I was trying to get across on that call to the OBDM was that I probably didn't articulate well was the idea that the lost history, whether it goes back to, I think I did bring up Randall Carlson and Graham Hancock. The like, how far back does that go? Was the essential question I was kind of getting to. And if there is hidden knowledge about how far back our species has been rising and falling technologically and everything, and if there is a higher ascension point humans can get to on another dimensional plane, and the globalists know this. That was my main, the crux of it was, if we've been stuck doing the same thing over and over and over and it's not working, then maybe there's when you start trying crazy things and a bunch of people get killed in the process, it might not be that bad of a thing if it's for a greater good, quote unquote.
I mean, most of us agree that history is pretty much not, I wouldn't say completely fabricated, but a lot of it. And we're led to believe certain things and certain dates and certain people, and nobody's there to really prove it out. You know, there's no, I don't really believe much after like the 1900s or before the 1900s or after, really. But like before that, like, how do you prove out like what happened 2000 fucking years ago? Carbon dating, sure, whatever, science, you know, that's about it. But to think that there is some kind of way that these people know about what happened thousands of years ago and what's happened over and over and over again, it seems to make sense to me. Like, everything else is cyclical. So why wouldn't that be as well? Like, why wouldn't the same shit happen over and over?
I'm fairly certain we're like 23 iterations deep through this shit.
Probably 33 at this point.
Yeah, the deja vu thing is a big factor that I don't underestimate.
Mm-hmm.
It could be explained away through other things, but...
You want to explain your deja vu?
What do you think deja vu is? No, I want to hear his. What do you think it is?
Man, that's... Well, it all comes down to... going back to everything is one, is the collective... How much stored DNA... Well, you can answer that so many different ways. With genetic memory, how much of your ancestors doing that... doing similar things leads to your genetic memory and causes deja vu? Or is it like Jim Morrison said, we're all a part of the cosmic movie? That means the day you die, you have to live your whole life over and over and over again. So you better have some interesting things happen in it. I think that's what he said. But
whole ass Groundhog's Day.
Deja vu is like some wild stuff, but whatever it is, it seems so significant when it hits you in the right way that it has to be something. To me, it has to be something more profound than just some kind of weird brain tick, I guess.
And to piggyback off of that, the genetic memory, I've heard ideas postulated that that's where phobias come from, that somewhere in the lineage there was, you know, someone that got bitten by a snake, and that travels on through, and that's what makes people just so deathly afraid of, you know, spiders, snakes, what have you.
Then you should be afraid of other humans quite a bit too, if that's the case.
I think we are. I really think we are.
I'm scared of Cretchid, but I do want to hear from Cretchid on this type of shit, because we hardly ever hear him speak on the weird esoteric, you know, nature of reality type shit. Like, what's your opinion on all this shit? Is it just hooey, or what do you think?
Well,
I'll let you chew.
I was at the grocery store yesterday, and it's early September, which means now it's Halloween candy time. So, and
pumpkin spice.
Candy corn. No, fuck pumpkin spice.
Are you seriously eating candy corn?
I'm candy corn.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Candy corn's the shit. Oh my gosh. I think Cretchid might be the only person I know who likes candy corn.
This is
corn
original
too.
Candy corn from 1927. They made it all then.
It's still delicious. Good. You know why it's still good? Is because it's fucking wax.
Yes. I don't know. What's in this? Let me look it up.
Carnauba wax or whatever, and artificial coloring. You nasty bitch.
What do you think deja vu is, Cretchid?
Deja vu is misfiring synapses in your brain.
You're going full science.
No, that's what it is. You always see deja vu if you think about it. When it happens, it's in a matter of seconds, if less than, when you then you experience it, you go, whoa, that was deja vu. Because it just happened in your brain and your ocular nerve picked it up and then spat it back, and that's what happens. So
it does make sense from that perspective. I mean, like, I get it. Like, I've had it several times and I'm like, why do I remember doing this already? Maybe I did. I don't know.
Keep in mind, deja vu is usually most accepted, very specific to a very short time frame. It's different from premonition. It's different from like future sight. That's a very different sort of phenomenon. And so I think people often conflate that, and they'll talk about, I've been having visions of this sort of scenario for years. I'm like, that's different. That's not deja vu. Deja vu is like, wait, I just did this and I'm doing it again. What's going on? It's because your brain misfired for a second. So
my brain misfires all the time, so it checks out.
So when I was really little, I thought that deja vu, when I was, I think, 12 or 13, I noticed that I had deja vu a lot, and it was really mundane. I'd be walking down the hall talking to my sister or something stupid, and I would have deja vu for a few seconds. So Cretchid's theory completely makes sense. But then something insane would happen after that, maybe hours later or maybe the next day. And then I thought, and this is just a theory as a child, I thought maybe if we live our lives over and over again, we have the ability to pinpoint certain points in our life. If just for a moment, we don't get a big clue, but the clue is, hey, this happened before, or this is really weird, but it has to be during a mundane time. And it's a clue that something really big is coming and you're going to have a choice to make, or something, you're going to have to do something that's really important.
A pivotal moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I was little when I had that thought, so I don't know. I'm not saying that's exactly what it is, but...
No, see, that's because you're letting the shadow people in your house and they're whispering to you at night.
Shadow people do exist. That's very much a real thing. I've seen it.
Hey, who knows?
Yeah. Shadow people, by the way, that whole concept, that whole phenomenon, what do you want to call it? That is some of the most just like mentally fucked up shit out there, as far as just like, there's something I can't quite see, because we get, you know, you get the eye worms and eye boogers and stuff that mess with what you're seeing, and you turn, you're like, did I see something? Did it move? And then you're forever on edge about like what was over there, what's going on in that room over there. Let me go turn on the lights in the hallway for no reason. And it that stuff messes with you.
Oh yeah. And I love hearing those stories. And like Mike, when he covers Bigfoot, I've told everyone on our show, I don't give a flying fuck about Bigfoot. But it's fun to hear the stories, especially the ones where they're like, he was psychic and then we had sex and he has a huge dick. And it's like, this is a great story. Like, you should make it into a movie. Wow. I would watch that, but I don't believe you for a second. But so.
And you guys live in Bigfoot country, by the way.
Yeah, I've never seen one.
It's so much less believable because of where we live.
Not that I'm out in the wilderness all that often, but like I have been.
There's
hunting.
Like Bigfoot rafting an hour away. There's Bigfoot everything in the mountains.
It's almost a marketing
it's
thing.
It's a tourist thing. Yeah.
Most of those female rafting guys kind of are hairier than Bigfoot, I've noticed.
They can.
It's because they've been mating with Bigfoot. Come on.
Yeah. Now, here's how you know, because I was kind of curious to hear Cretchid's take on a lot of this stuff too. And here's how you nail him. Here's how you just kind of pin him down. Just get a direct yes or no.
No.
Cretchid, do you believe in an afterlife? And what are your thoughts on it?
In an afterlife
or reincarnation? That was going to be my next thing. Thanks, Chris.
That would count.
Well, those are two different things. Here's my favorite concept of any sort of life after death moment and whatever that might involve. The 1991 film, shit, what the hell is it called? With Albert Brooks. I'm drawing a blank now. I'm not going to look it up. crap.
Oh, how do you not know? We got to Google. We got to ask ChatGPT. Hang on.
I was just thinking of it, and then I...
You're so good on your toes with this shit, man.
Yeah, sorry.
I was 1991.
You bet your life, but that was...
Which one was it?
1991. Defending Your Life. I was close.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, You Bet Your Life, but that's the old game show. So Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks. If you haven't seen it, highly recommended. It's about somebody who dies and has to reflect upon his life. Was he a good person or not? And the fundamental crux of the film is, if you have not been a good enough person, if you've not gotten enough points towards whatever that next level of existence is, you're sent back. And you have to go back until you basically earn it to move forward. Now, whether or not that aligns with a Judeo-Christian ideology or any sort of kind of a notion of general reincarnation, I think it's broad enough and non-specific enough that it applies to a lot of that. And it's just fantastically done from the standpoint of, it's not purgatory, it's not heaven, but you know, you can go back and you can read the Divine Comedy, and it talks about this sort of concept that you have to kind of earn your way to the next level of existence. And that is that level of existence just another plane, or is that what we would call paradise or heaven, or do you have to go back and repeat to atone for sins, or just being a milquetoast individual who is, you know, if it's too hot, I spit you out. If you're too cold, I spit you out. If you're lukewarm, you know, it's just, there's a lot of that sort of theology in there. And to me, that makes the most kind of logical sense as far as how what we call this plane of existence is structured and what might be above or below that, as far as just a general overall like umbrella theory to it. Because there's good throwaway lines in there, which someone comments, they're in this like purgatory. I don't want to spoil it if people haven't seen it, because it's a fantastic film. They say, I don't see any kids around. Why are there no kids here? And they say, oh, kids move on automatically. Kids, if you die as a child, you're bumped up. And I'm thinking, well, how old's a child? Then we get into that, like, you know, try it as an adult sort of thing. But it is an interesting idea to say, yeah, a six-year-old is not an evil person in any way. They haven't, their brain is not formed enough to have
some made of them
those,
are.
Those, well,
I've to met made them.
Those decisions. So if they die at that age, they just get moved on to the next plane of existence as is. Now, that person also could have just been blowing smoke and said, no, they've got their own McDonald's Playland purgatory over here, and we send them back because they're a bunch of bastards. But anyway, I like the general concept of the film, and that probably most closely aligns with how I like to think of multiple planes of existence, or call it an afterlife, call it reincarnation, call it paradise or heaven, however you want to structure that. So.
That's I haven't seen it. I need to check that out. But so it sounds like that hinges on.
Stop.
Okay.
Yeah. Stop watching this.
What the hell is that tied to?
Yes. I love this so much, and I want one.
Is that Blueberry doing that?
I need
it. No. So if I say the word like, I get shocked. Gix to set that up for me.
So good.
Oh my god.
So fucking good.
Yeah. So good. Well, I was gonna say. The premise of that movie seems like it hinges on the idea of the individual unique soul, and rather than a collective soul of the human race. Fuck.
You fucking cocks.
I mean, yes, they are there as individuals, hence the title Defending Your Life. But it is very much about the collective social consciousness, if you want to call it that, and what makes a good and reasonable person. I mean, they celebrate somebody who was, you know, feeding the homeless or rescuing people from a fire or whatever. And they look down upon somebody who is simply, he wasn't evil, he wasn't good or, you know, he was very, very middle of the road, but was fundamentally driven by fear. And he was afraid in social scenarios to live up to his potential. And they said, just because of that, you're not living up to what you could be. And society is driving that. So we're going to turn you around. And you got to go do it all over again. We'll see you again another 60 years.
Right. And that comes down to what somebody else's definition of what you could be is. And I mean, not that you should, I think you should decide what you can be and what you should be. But if somebody else is saying what you should or shouldn't be, or how much potential you could have, I don't see that as a barrier to the next dimension. Like, who's deciding that? Then we get into the concept of God and or the master program, or, you know, whatever. So what do we, which religion do we go with? Which one's the right one? Like, is it Buddha? or Jesus?
I know which one it is. I'm just not going to tell anybody.
Oh. Oh, wait. You have to join his $3,000 Patreon to find out.
Yeah. Send me some Satoshis and we'll talk.
Well, what do you think about the idea of... go ahead, boobs.
Well, you would need a wallet for that first, but yeah.
Money somehow. I don't send it to Booberry, who will exchange it, turn into cash and send it.
Send it Gretchen's psychically gonna run for to president,
Booberry. And his running platform is, I'm going to give you the first half of this chili recipe, but once I'm elected, then you get the other half.
I'm gonna leave out the real ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have any of you, I guess this is an open-ended question to all of you. Have you ever had the life in review, whether it was from like a near-death experience or ego death or?
Not yet. Not me myself.
My fear is I have, and it was boring and I missed it.
Oh, he was lukewarm. He was milk toast. Ah.
May have changed the channel.
Have you? You said you have.
Oh, yeah. What, boobs, have you had like the life flash before your eyes? Like,
I have not.
In a literal sense?
I have not.
Wow. Okay.
We can make it happen. Enough that,
yes. I'm game. Let's do it.
The statute of limitations is over on this, and I've already told the story with Ping Trip on my show. But just to be, I won't go through the whole long escapade of it. But the first time I did acid, I did way too much acid, and I didn't know anything about acid other than what somebody told me, which was, "Oh yeah, you can see dubstep and you can taste colors." Looking at him, it's like, oh, that's yeah,
trippy, so, bro. Like,
I didn't understand the philosophical implications of what I was.
You didn't say it there.
Into.
What was that?
I don't know. Let's see.
I think they're just doing it when he talks now.
It says I did.
But I'm gonna listen.
Jinx wrote the software, but so it's. Started off, I saw a nug of weed kind of crawl on the table as a caterpillar. I saw all the stars, like red lasers dashing in between them, and the moon suddenly grew and took up the whole entire sky. I didn't say that at that time. So it all became very overwhelming for somebody that wasn't prepared for that. I pretty much went into a room, like felt like I couldn't breathe, thought I was dying, and I was like, oh, I don't know. And... kind of like the Gandalf. I always compare to the Gandalf. I
heard it.
When he fights the Balrog and flies through a thousand lifetimes through cyberspace. That's kind of, that's what it was. And I've witnessed my birth to death of my entire life. Now it's just shocking. What the fuck? And now I witnessed my birth to death life, but from the perspective of everyone I interacted with, looking through their eyes, seeing me, feeling their feelings for what felt like an eternity until, you know, all the good, all the bad I ever did, essentially. And then just kind of came to terms with the fact that I wasn't a worthy human being and got shot out into. And then as soon as I, you know, I guess you could call it like a redemption or repental or whatever, but just kind of blasted through just a kaleidoscope of colors into just the most real, such a real dimension that it felt like what everything I had lived up to before then was kind of like the, Mike was saying like a movie
or like a fake, like,
yeah,
we've heard that a lot with psychedelic encounters is that what they saw was more real than what you know to be real, more colors. And I don't know what that's like. I've never gone that deep with it.
But. More real emotions than it's just looking back on it. It was like, oh, this was all a test I was a part of. And then I was able to zoom out. By this point, it felt like lifetimes and lifetimes. I was just going through my whole life review. But by that point, I was able to just zoom out and see the entire, Earth. And for what was an eternity, just zoom in and become any plant, any animal. I didn't believe in reincarnation at all. This, and you could easily, my subjective experience, but I had no frame of reference for any of this experience at the time.
And go ahead, shock that fucker.
Yeah. After that, I started doing some digging and was like, oh, I'm not crazy. This has been an experience throughout for thousands of years across the world that people have had, whether it was through sacramental ayahuasca and mushroom use, or just from people that die in hospitals and come back. So I don't know. I can't prove any of it's real, but it's definitely shaped a lot of my philosophy.
What do you think about that, Cretchit? What do you think with the psychedelics? Is that synapses and stuff too, or is there something else? Because I know Mike's talked about DMT and other psychedelics where people see the same shit. Is it just because it's the same chemical? Like, is that what
I think there's two things there. One is it is fundamentally messing with your brain chemicals. So it is, which is doing what it's doing. It's a psychedelic. It is breaking how your brain is working in short bursts. What people see, what they experience, is often based on what others have described or what they have seen themselves, or it's described in the in relation to a movie or a comic drawing or artwork or something, because they have to put it in some sort of frame of reference. But in some cases, people see that because that's what they're expecting to see. So
yeah, there's a word for that too. Pareidolia, I think it's what it's called.
Isn't that where you have you're afraid of holes in things? Is that that?
No, I think it's where you're looking for something in the clouds and you see it because your brain makes you see it. And I think a lot of things, even like deja vu, might be something like pareidolia, but
numerology
is pareidolia. Yeah. So what do you think about the possibility that maybe there are other dimensions happening all around us at the same time?
I love the multidimensional theory. I've said this on the show multiple times. I am 100% on board with that concept of multiple planes of reality, whether it's based on, different dimensions or things moving at different vibrations. And I like that way better than, it's bleep bloop coming from 82 kajillion light years away. It's like, no, they're here right now. You just can't interact with them because they're on a different plane of existence.
You just need that they live glasses. So, Cretchit, do you think it's possible then that, I think you have said this on the show, but do you think it's possible that psychedelics allow you to access those other dimensions?
It's possible. I think the closest we get is the discussion about the clockwork elves and DMT and people who have had direct interactions with them, or when they're out in nature, they're out in the woods and they describe them coming out of the woods, just kind of appearing as if they're just outside the circle of light produced by the campfire or something. That's possible. I mean, I'm more on board with that than, they flew down and landed their freaking hubcap of a spaceship on the other side of the barn and they came around to, jerk off your cows or something like that.
And it's always with rednecks and farmers and stuff too. And the explanation for that is nobody's going to believe these hick rednecks when they say some little green men came off and jerked their chickens off.
Well, typically those hick people don't even want to talk about it if that's the truth.
By the way, little known OBDM fact, that's where Sir Seat Sitter got his OBDM nickname of Chris number 23, because we kept getting calls from Chris's in the southern U.S. talking about UFOs, and I was upset that no one was going out and just shooting at them.
You'd that's think somebody would have by now.
About that, a lot of us came armed.
What the hell? Just take some pot shots.
We didn't want to get abducted, and Bill Hicks is looking around. I think he's in Fife, Alabama. He's like, well, maybe we'll get lucky, and it's just a sterility and dentistry program that the aliens are doing.
Yeah, God, free healthcare.
I hope there's dental hygienists in other dimensions.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. By the way, I always come armed.
Yeah, I always come
armed. So yeah, Boo Bear, we haven't heard much from you besides the fucking shot caller. What do you got to say about all this crazy shit?
Well, I certainly don't think that it's just psychedelics that open certain doors. I mean, it's called spirits for a reason, right? The whole, there was that Iron Man comic arc called Demons in the Bottle. I can personally attest to alcoholism, and there is stuff that will attach itself to you through that method, and it's all just about really depressing your essence to the point where, it makes your membrane, your just soul membrane, really mushy, and things can kind of leach in, and you have a lot of demons of self-doubt and just a lot of hatred for yourself and things like that. And I do find it to be supernatural. I think I have had supernatural experiences while being just, you know, drunk out of my fucking gourd.
We all have. We just don't remember them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's the thing. When you black out, your mind is saying, you know what? I'm gonna take a break. My body can't handle, or I can't handle what my body is doing at the moment. And something else takes over and is, you know, in charge of the steering wheel, essentially, for you.
It's like leaving your car running with all the windows down in the middle of a bad area and just walking away.
Well, not even. It's getting in the passenger seat and taking a nap.
Okay, yeah.
We'll be right back after this quick ad break, so get the skip button ready. But if it doesn't play, well, lucky you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You guys keep making a lot of driving references to drinking, and I just want to point out that's probably not a great thing.
Well, my grandmother
we don't
was,
condone drinking and driving.
Yeah, my grandmother was beheaded in an accident, so I totally get it, man. It's
I drunk better when I drive.
Yeah, so seat sitters showing up playing Gavin McInnes while why drunk driving should be allowed clips. it's good times.
If you're not driving with at least 8 beers in you, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
You pussy.
Yeah.
What a built-up tolerance.
But I think that extends, you know, to psychedelic. I think it extends to a lot of stuff. Anything that alters your perceptions is opening you to one thing or another. I would include meditation in that. I would include, just anything that's putting you in a different frame of mind. Watching the TV. I full-heartedly believe that there's demons that come through the TV screens, whatever you want to call it.
The black mirrors.
Yeah.
Fletcher has a crazy story about his group of friends meditating around the crystals. Have you heard that?
Like crystal meth?
That and quartz.
Just something coming out of the freaking sky, like a black, giant black figure that was blacker than black, just like doing a beeline out of the sky and landing on a
isn't that from Harry Potter?
Transformer, electric transformer. I don't know if you heard that story he told on my show, but dude, that's haunted me to this day. The story he tells about that, because I believe him.
Sounds like Mothman.
It does sound like Mothman. That's what I was thinking too. What happened? Can you give us a little taste of the story and
without saying without like spoiling for the it. Love of God?
Just say similar.
I'm about to mute Booberry.
It's not me. It's on Chris's side.
Oh, okay.
Come on, man.
The
nutshell version is they were doing a meditation exercise around a bunch of crystals, and something, some big giant, just blacker than the night sky figure just
racist
came in, started running at them, landed on a power transformer, hovered up there, and then jumped off and started running at them. They ran inside the house. All the ceiling fans were just spinning as fast as they could, like they couldn't turn the fans off. Yeah, and they finally had somebody, one of them, I think it was Fletcher, said he yelled, just "God damn it, stop it!" or get out of here, something. And just all of a sudden, the thing was gone. All the ceiling fans stopped. The doors stopped slamming open and shut in the house. And
so you don't even have to say Jesus, be gone. You can just say, God damn it, be gone.
Well, that might have worked better, because all those people, from what I remember him saying, I know for sure him and all those other people, from what I remember, but for sure him, throughout the rest of his life, it would appear, and he would know it was there just by a feeling, like hair standing up on his neck, and he'd turn around and be there behind him, following him around.
I think I actually have a sound drop from that occasion.
Put it in my mouth.
Is that what happened? They put the penis in the mouth?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but I believe, and it goes back to the shadow people thing we were talking about. I know independently, people that don't talk about the type of things that we talk about, that don't pontificate at all like we do, independent of each other. A lot of people that work third shift and do speed, like Adderall or whatever. Wow. I'm gonna have to take this thing off. It's too distracting. A lot of them, independent of each other, have told me about shadow people and whispering similar things, and always seeing them. And it's always about 2 to 4 days of sleep deprivation, the shadow people kick in. And that could be something that's not supernatural. The skeptic would say that's just a part of human psychology, that somehow our brains have evolved to have that those anomalies happen after a lack of sleep. But I think there's a little more to it. I think there's a lot of ways, like you were saying, Boobs, of opening different dimensions, and sleep deprivation is definitely one of them.
The one unifying thing that I really came to recognize and respect to a degree, because it's across the entire United States, is just the people that are out on the streets, homeless, by their own volition or by their own circumstance or by their circumstances. And I have come across people that you could not convince me otherwise that they were not possessed. And I mean that fully, that, you know, I have heard just some of the most guttural screams coming from people in like Toronto. And that was more recent. That was like 2019, December.
Did their head spin around though?
You know, just with the rage.
It comes in half. The Canadians can split their heads in half.
Oh, right.
But
I'm not sure about it.
I've run into some people that I think that goes both ways. I think I've either met angels or people that had some really divine entities around them.
I had an angel laugh in my hotel room one time. That kind of tripped me up. I wasn't freaked out per se, but it was pretty spooky.
What happened?
So, yeah, tell us that story. And then I want to hear Kretch's response on like this kind of paranormal ish, which I think is all the same thing as UFOs and Bigfoot, as our listeners know. But tell that story, and then Kretch, I want your rebuttal to this as a science guy.
Why do I have to rebut? How can I rebut something I haven't heard yet?
After he tells it, then you can rebut it. Yeah.
Debunked.
Pre-boonk it.
This was in 2019, I was on tour. We were in Las Vegas. I was in a pretty depressed state, just having a hard time keeping up with stuff. Was not taking care of my body nor my mind, and I had tried to. Las Vegas, in and of itself, is a very creepy town. I always feel like it's the Disneyland of death. Like. You stand there in Vegas and it just, you feel like you're surrounded by a graveyard for some reason.
Our buddy Darren from Grimerica says it's like being on the inside of a tablet, which makes complete sense. That's what it's like.
And I had made the mistake of trying to do some meditation and quasi scrying work using a TV screen, which I would not recommend. Just no image. It was not turned on. I just used the actual black mirror that it was. And
yeah, don't do that. Good Lord.
It was intense, man. Like by the time I had kind of cracked through the blockages and like had really just connected to what was on the other side. It's cliched, but it was like, have you seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World? And at the end of the movie, he's supposed to confront Nega Scott, the evil version of himself. Just that sort of imagery, the white skin, the sunken eyes, the sort of the atrophied skin. It was intense, and I just kind of came face to face with what my mental state was at that time through the TV screen. And this is Vegas, so there's people coming and going through the hotel room at all hours of the night. It is nonstop. The doors are not springed in the way that they'll kind of like slowly close shut. They'll just boom, they'll just slam shut. So you can hear when people are coming and going in the room, through the hallway. You can hear the elevator.
Not to mention a fuckload of EMFs going every which way. It's a soup down there.
Oh, yeah.
You guys need to stay in nicer hotels.
Well, you know,
that's off the strip.
I think we were staying at the Golden Nugget that time. But
I bet the nicest hotels have the most overdoses.
Yeah, but they're discreet. Discreet.
Well, they have the best drugs, so probably.
Yeah. They go put themselves outside the door of the room first.
They get picked up by room service first thing in the morning.
Yep, come by before you're up. Take them out.
Dustpan.
Put them in the dumpster.
Anyway, sorry, boobs. We interrupted. Go ahead.
But after, and the actual time, like what time it was, escapes me. I want to say it was like 12:33. It had that sort of, you know, you look at a clock and it's always 11:11 or 3:33, so on and so forth. I kind of disconnected from that television, was trying to bring myself back to the real world, whatever this is. And at that moment, when I looked at the clock, there was a disembodied laugh in the room that was with me. There was no door slamming. There was no, the elevator, you know, didn't fire off. And it wasn't like a laugh of malice, but it wasn't like a laugh of joy either. If that makes any sense.
Were you on any substances at this point?
That night? No. But I mean, I was kind of at the point where like every night a week going out, fucking getting hammered, so on and so forth. So
let's see. I'm more inclined to believe it. If it was just alcohol or something, I believe it. I've been drunk all the time. So I get that. I never hallucinate while had been drunken, like ever. That doesn't happen when you're drunk. Maybe you see tracers where things are blurry, but you don't see shit that's not there or hear shit that's not there. So
I mean, I constantly am catching things, though. I don't know what it is, but I always just have the sensation that there's something floating nearby. Maybe I'm losing my mind. That is also highly possible.
Did the laugh sound like this at all? Just
one. It was similar. I'm thinking more so.
That's the disembodied.
There you go. Oh, Cretchen was in his hotel room.
I am the god of fuck.
He was looking to get some, bro.
No, I was announcing myself. I am apparently the god of fuck. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to take that one too. Thank you.
Murder, 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 murder.
No, so I didn't want you to rebut it as much as. Whoa.
I don't know.
Which one was that? Play it again.
Murder, 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 murder.
Wow. He says a lot of things he doesn't remember, kind of like us. No, so I didn't want you to rebut that specific story. What do you think about like the correlation between different dimensions and demonic contact and things like that that you can't explain? Like you were talking about earlier, where shadow people or there's all kinds of like the old hag, sleep paralysis, all this stuff. Is that all just aspects of your mind or what?
No, I think I like the concept of you are able to start to find areas where the space between dimensions is thinner. I like that the concept of being able to, for lack of a better term, project yourself or at least attune yourself to be able to start to see that stuff. What you're seeing are glimpses, bits and pieces. It doesn't make sense. So your brain's not able to wrap around. So you have to couch those experiences in something with which you are familiar. Now in more recent years, that has to do with fiction, you know, our experience with fiction, television, movies, etc. So we use that frame of reference, but I don't have any problem with those concepts. My biggest issue with that story was somehow Booberry was scrying into what I presume is a flat panel television, which are nowhere near reflective enough to really just start to warp your brain. So I don't know how well that works compared to the old CRTs, but I would think you'd want a more reflective surface so you could start to see stuff behind you.
Yeah, if anybody wants to go out there and try that with a CRT, let me know how it goes.
Well, you got to understand, in a dark room, if you're sitting there for an hour and a half, your eyes are going to acclimate. And you know, I can turn off my monitors and still see. I mean, that's kind of the point that I'm getting at, is that
Yes, to look at one of these more modern monitors, yes, it is a blurry image, but as you sit there in the dark and you're focusing on that and getting yourself into that meditative space, that image starts to form more clearly.
But wouldn't it make more sense to like go sit in the hotel bathroom and use the mirror? I'm just curious.
I think it has more to do with your state of mind than what you're looking at, because I know there's a lot of people that will scry into basically, I think it's more of a focal point type of thing from what I've heard. It's not necessarily what you're looking at. It's more of focusing on one thing. Like people will do that with a candle flame, and that's not reflective at all. And they'll scry into a candle flame and see crazy shit. So I don't know if it has to do with optics.
Water?
Or
can't you look at your reflection in water?
I don't want to do that. I don't want to look at my reflection.
I just assume that's where the term scry me a river comes from.
You're mishearing
possibly
things again.
How you're long on do drugs, you
wait
Chris
to squeeze that one out?
Like a fart.
Oh, like a fart?
For the right moment.
Mm. Oh, good for you, buddy. But yeah, do you have anything more to say on that? Or should we just move on to stupid news? Do you have any stupid news, Cratchit? I know you're filled to the brim with
it. I have a lot of stupid news, but I'm saving it. Yeah, I don't know. I routinely have probably 2 to 3 times the amount of stories we ever get to on a given show. So sometimes they're useful to have to go back to, depending on what the topic is. So
shout out the worst one that you have so that you know you'll never use it on OBDM.
Yeah, one that Mike won't like pick and then be like,
what the fuck?
When you used it on our show and not yours.
All right, well, let me see what I got.
You got to get into the carrot shop.
It's not in the carrot shop. It's not where they are.
Oh, okay.
Well, I got a good one here for this. This one I picked just for Mike for next one, but, let's see.
We won't tell anybody. I won't tell Mike.
What the heck's going on around here?
Here's what. Well, okay. Let's use this one. Did I don't know. Did you guys discuss the diarrhea airplane story?
No.
No. Please do tell.
It's even this one is a little much for OBDM. But tell you what.
Oh, nothing's too much for us. We only have like 2 people that hate those stories, and fuck them.
All right, let me put this into the Zoom chat. There you go.
Oh, that is the poor man's carrot shop. Yes, I got it. All right.
Is and it chop or shop? Is it C-H-O-P or S-H-O-P?
It's C-H-O-P-P-E. No, it's shop. It's a place you go to take things and without paying for them if you live in
San Francisco. I always heard it as chop, like carrot shop, like dicing their carrot.
Carrot chop?
That's what carrot I always just chop heard it as. I just assumed.
All right. So, yeah, way to, I love this. I actually love your, this is why I love OBDM. I love talking about weird shit and then just going to straight to this. A Delta flight diverted after passenger reportedly has diarrhea all the way through the airplane.
That's in quotes, too.
That is in quotes. So a Delta Airlines flight from Atlanta, Georgia to Barcelona, Spain was diverted back to its original airport. Oh, Jesus. After a passenger experienced an onboard medical issue. Yeah, they're going to call it an onboard medical issue. We know what it is. The website flightradar24.com shows Delta flight DL-194 is about 2 hours into its 8-hour flight when it turned around over Virginia, I was going to say vagina, and headed back to Atlanta. A user on X, formerly known as Twitter, is fucking gay. I don't know if you know this, but that is a dumb fucking name.
Retarded faggots.
who appears to devote his page... now I'm going to put it on there anyway. I don't give a shit. Who appears to devote his page to flight material. Nerd. Shared audio recorded from the Airbus A350 that was broadcast on liveatc.com. On the recording, a pilot tells air traffic control, this is a biohazard issue. No shit. No pun intended. We've had a passenger who's had diarrhea all the way through the airplane. So they want us to come back to Atlanta.
You know why that is? It's because they don't let you fucking get up until you're like 3 hours into your flight. They're like, the pilot has said, fasten seatbelts. This will remain on. Please do not get up.
Yeah, Jen had a problem with that. They were taxiing.
I had to pee so bad. I had like taxiing. I had like 7 beers right before my flight and
just
on the
go,
plane
man.
Too.
Just go.
Yeah. I did. So I did right as we were about to take off. I'm like, I just have to pee. And I ran back there. This was like a week and a half ago. And as I opened the door, the flight attendants were in the jump seats and they're like, ma'am, sit down now. And I just slammed the door and I was just pretended that I didn't see them or hear them.
She took a quick tinkle.
And then I tried to pee and I just couldn't because I was terrified because they screamed at me. They screamed at me through the door, pounded on it. And then the pilot got on. And this is a huge full packed flight from Boston to San Francisco. And they're like, everyone get in your seats right now. It scared the shit out of me. So not literally.
Just the piss.
Not the piss either. The piss stayed inside. So I just got up and just ran back to my seat. And then we immediately took off. So I was 100% holding up the plane. So this guy was probably too scared to take his shit. And then he had a biohazard issue all over the plane. I know exactly what happened.
He probably ate a Cinnabon right before the flight. And then they took off. It took way too long to take off.
They need to make you sign a waiver that says if you stand up and you have to take a piss or a shit while we are taking off and your head slams into the back and you die, oh well, sign a waiver.
Yeah,
I got pissed all over the toilet seat last time I was on a plane because there was turbulence while I was taking a leak.
Everyone pisses on the toilet seat, good lord.
Yeah.
I suspect it had to do more with the cheap sushi he got at one of those but the little like takeout places in the airport.
It's like the gas station of the airport. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there audio from the pilots in this article that we can
hear? I don't know. I'm going to keep reading.
I do have a recording of this.
No, you don't.
The pilot came out on the goddamn intercom and said, ladies and gentlemen, please, we have an emergency. There's a guy with piss coming from my ass.
Doo-doo, bud.
there is video of this in the aftermath. I'll put that in the chat, but I'll hold on to that until you're done discussing.
Oh, geez,
show.net. There was a clip about this on No Agenda Today. I can go grab real fast.
I do enjoy having these stories 2 or 3 days prior to them showing up in No Agenda. So,
yes. Oh, good. All right, let me finish off this article, and then we can do it
by a show or two. So.
Oh yeah, that's probably why you got kicked off. Right?
When I was covering a bunch of jab and COVID stuff, I would be so proud every time I scooped the No Agenda on clips.
Yep, got him.
All right, so a Delta spokesperson, not a spokesman or woman, because it's a dude or a guy, confirmed with Fox News Digital. There was no emergency landing because of the biohazard situation, but the flight did return to its original airport. Quote, Delta Flight 194 from Atlanta to Barcelona returned to Atlanta following an onboard medical issue. Our teams worked out as quickly and safely as possible to thoroughly clean the airplane and get our customers to their final destination. You don't say that on a plane, first of all. If you're on a plane, you don't say final destination. Everybody knows that. Anyway, we sincerely apologize to our customers for the delay and inconvenience to their travel.
Was this person allowed to get back on the plane?
Corked them.
So it said there were 336 passengers that landed without further incident the following day, 8 hours and 6 minutes behind schedule. Those people were pissed.
Shit.
Oh, they probably missed. If anyone had a connecting flight to another country, they missed it.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't they disclose the person's name and maybe their address or Instagram?
Where they live. Yeah.
Dox this fucker.
Steve Grabowski of Macon, Georgia.
I want to say it was Tom Shimabukuro.
Did they keep there it was gender a, neutral?
There was a short
a man or a woman.
A short 8 second clip.
Negative. It's just a biohazard issue. We've had a passenger who had diarrhea all the way through the airplane, so they want us to come back to Atlanta.
Where apparently they have toilet paper.
I love that headline. All the way through the airplane. So you can especially for the audio listeners, imagine that in your head. Diarrhea all the way through the airplane. Not a 737. This is an Airbus.
You can't roll down the windows at all.
That was a lot of sushi.
I am tired of all these motherfucking snail trails on this motherfucking plane.
We refer to those as hot snakes.
Oh.
The gender was undisclosed, right? Or am I mistaken?
Did you say the ginger?
The gender. Yes.
The gender.
Oh.
I thought you were hating on gingers. As far as I could tell, it was a non-specific gender of a person, which makes me think it was a woman. Because if it was a dude, they definitely would have said this guy had diarrhea all over the airplane.
Oh, dude, if it was
a dude, the dude would have owned it.
This person.
Yeah. There'd probably be video of him being like, let me take a shit.
No, he would have had his own video of it and been fucking TikTok famous, just walking through the whole plane. Just...
What up, fam? It's me, Poopmeister.
in 2 years, he's gonna have a deal with Sony and like a bunch of other shit. Who knows?
So you guys ready for the visual? Because this is
yes.
This is what it was. Yeah. So there you
is
go.
Is it raw?
It's on X, formerly known as Twitter. And there's video of this of somebody walking down the it's after its plane's landed and everyone has evacuated their bowels, but evacuated the plane as well. They're going through and looking at the aftermath of this.
Oh,
Richard,
right.
I hate to tell you this, but there's a difference between X and xvideos.com. So
Xvideos is exclusively for Twitter. You just go to xvideos.com and look at all the Twitter videos.
Is there any sound on this video?
I don't know.
Well, we'll find out. Sorry, audio listeners. I'll clip it out if there isn't, but let's look at it.
There is, but it's just ambient. You can add some sounds, though.
Oh, wow.
They put paper towels down through one of the aisles
on
the plane.
It really was all the way
That's a huge plane, too. It's like a 323, like gigantic 797 or something.
Hey,
huge plane.
I give this guy props. Like, good for you, dude. Or ma'am, or guy.
Who knows?
I just need to let
the seatbelt sign go sometimes.
As they were running down the aisle, were they quickly and beneath their breath saying, make it. And
they were holding their butthole for sure. And that's probably what made it
spray. Like in Bridesmaids when the girl's like, it's happening. Yeah. And then she shits in the
If you're holding your hand down there, that makes it worse because it's like a hose when you put your thumb on the end of it. Like, you're not helping anything by doing that. It's coming out anyway. The pressure is there. It's spraying. You'd be better just to like drop trow and just do it in one spot. Make cleanup fucking easier. What an asshole.
Yeah, like
I've definitely had that phenomenon when I'm trying to hold in puke and I try to cover it with my mouth. It just sprays.
Yeah, same idea.
And you can't run down a plane with your hand in your pants because.
They'll
whatever
think it's a bomb.
Yeah, 100%. They're like, they're pulling the bomb out of their ass. Everyone take cover.
I actually made a joke bomb. About that. It was our local regional airport, not like Denver or something, but I actually made a joke to the TSA guy because he was talking about, oh, maybe it's your necklace or something. And I'm like, oh, do you think it's the thing you can't say in airports? And he's like, no, you can say it. It just has to be under your breath. Bomb. And he actually said it. I'm like, holy shit, this guy is awesome. What a great TSA agent.
Lucky that we still got to board our flight that day.
I know. I didn't say it. He said
it's
it.
It's like, yeah.
I could sue him. Sue everybody.
He was trying to get you to say it, and then you'd be on the list.
I found out later he knew my brother, and he probably saw my ID. I don't know if that's related, but he said bomb in an airport, a TSA agent.
It's a very small airport. It's the kind where there's no gate. The gate is wherever they roll the stairs out to get on the plane outside.
Yeah, it was not a...
Like, it's not a real
airport. I wouldn't even call it a gate. I'd call it more of a door.
They call it a gate. It's like you're boarding at gate Christmas one.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, dude,
I do like those airports that are so small. They try to like the word gate two. I'm like, there's a door. There's only two of them. I know where you're going. Why do you have to fancy it up?
There's a rope in front of it. Who are you stopping right now?
There's no two gates at this airport unless there are two planes there and they have two sets of stairs they could wheel out.
If I had a box cutter, at which plane you're going to?
Yeah.
If I had a box cutter, I'd get right past that rope and that lady that's 300 pounds standing there checking my ID. No problem.
Getting on that plane first, and I'm shitting up and down the aisle in there.
I have a kind of unrelated question, but it might just be the area I live in. How many of you guys have, where the majority of your friends and acquaintances have never been on an airplane? Because a lot of people I know have never been on an airplane.
I don't know anybody who hasn't.
I know a lot of people who have flown. I've flown probably like 200 times in my life. And when I tell people how many times I've flown and like all of the crazy stories, they're like, wow, I've only flown like twice. And I think that's super weird because of my experience of just flying all the time.
I haven't flown a lot, but I don't really know anybody who has never flown.
Yeah, that's
weird.
I have
a bunch of friends that have, one of my friends is terrified of planes and snakes. So he's definitely not getting on an airplane.
I have a perfect movie for him.
Yeah, but
hot snakes on a plane.
I would say it's 40 to 60%. I don't want to say it's an even 50-50 split, but it's around half of the people that I know have never been on an airplane, have no desire to,
because they're scared. Is that the reason? Out of fear,
or just it's like, why do I need to go anywhere? I got all the stuff I need right here in East Tennessee.
I actually agree with that. That's I tell my kid that all the time. I'm like, I don't like going places. I hate people and all my shit's in my house. Why do I need to leave?
This is where all my stuff is.
Yeah. Everything I need.
Every time we go somewhere, Joe's like, something terrible happens back where our house is. That just happened when we went to Denver. And he's like, this is why I never want to leave.
And I'm
like,
already an old curmudgeon and I'm fucking fine with it. I get those guys. I get why they're like that.
So to be fair, Chris, I am super afraid of flying and I've flown more than most people I know. And every single time I got on the plane, I'm like, ooh, this might be the time. Like as soon as we take off. I know. So I look around at all of the other people on the plane that are casually reading newspapers or on their tablets now, because it's been years and years.
She looks over at me and I'm asleep.
I look over at, yeah, people who are sleeping, people who are just reading on their tablets, and the plane's like, and I'm just like, wow, they look super calm. Like, I think we're fine. This feels really weird, but I think we're all right. But I never used to be scared
of flying until it was like the third time I flew and I ate some pop brownies. And that just made the whole thing terrifying.
No.
Not a good idea.
No, I recommend shutting off your brain with alcohol if you're going to do anything.
Yeah, drinking is definitely the way to go. It traumatized me from flying forever because I had a pretty heavy piece of luggage suitcase that I was trying to put in the overhead compartment and it fell on a person's head. Direct just dropped it
on their head.
And then I had to sit next to them the whole flight.
What was in the luggage?
I apologize, like, probably 10 times.
Another person? What were you doing?
Bricks of weed.
Say that again.
What was in his luggage that made it so heavy?
Well, it's just it's one of those rolling luggage things. So
you're not going to tell us, are you?
It was a bunch of clothes and a Bluetooth speaker and laptop.
Oh, that could be it.
They didn't have to know it was yours, though. You could have just helped them picked it up and put it back in and been like, oh, man.
Who's this asshole?
And then sat there and waited for them to deplane.
Yeah,
let everyone go past you and just be like, go ahead, it's cool. And then sheepishly take your luggage out later and just deplane less.
When you get out before them off-planing, you're like, oh.
That's what I would have done for sure.
But you don't have to see
I would have been less embarrassed if I had diarrhea up and down the entire cabin.
I'm going to make myself do that now just to show up on TikTok, but I'm going to have my phone ready, and unlike this retard that didn't even have his phone going.
Yeah, come on, man. If you're going to shit up
if you're going to go for
it. He couldn't. How is he going to hold his phone if he has his thumb in his ass?
Well, you have one hand for the thumb.
Two hands.
Yeah.
The other one was like, move, waving people away, I think.
Oh, no, I'm not waving people away. I'm like, check this out.
Bring it on.
little for you.
Well, you guys, let's wrap this up. I know Chris has to work early. I actually have to work early. I have no idea if Cretchit does. I don't really give a shit, but no, I'm just kidding. So obdmpod.com. Look, I can do your plugs for you unless you have anything else. Is there Cretchit.com?
Factcheckgov.com.
Oh, right.
That's the site to go to.
That's a different site. Exactly. Yes. Booberry.
Do all your fact checks at factcheckgov.com.
Do it. Go there now and sign up for Patreon, $1 a month. Booberry, what's your
$1 a month? You can pay more.
We're over at badradio.live or behindtheschemes.com, SCH3M3S. We do a live show every Monday night, audio only, but we've been playing around with a lot of new podcasted 2.0 features. So we're able to switch the chapters live on the fly. So we're showing all sorts of new art. I mean, shit, we had like 9 submissions I was just cycling through the other night. But we actually just started a new feed up. You can find it in only the podcasting 2.0 apps because I turned on the Block Spotify, Block Apple, and Block Amazon in our feed. But we started it's about an hour long music pre-show called Before the Schemes, and it's all boostable music. It's like 95% of the sats that come in go directly to the artists. It's phenomenal. I could not be enjoying myself more.
That's super exciting.
Oh, dude, I'm not going to help you with it.
You know, anytime y'all are ready to fuck around and find out, you know where to find me. I am ready. My body's ready.
Oh yeah, buddy. And Chris, last but not least, where can we find all your shit?
Myass.com. Shitmyass.com.
Oh shit! You fucked that up.
People are going to go to myass.com and have a whole different thing.
Don't go to pissmyass.com. That's OBDM site.
Shitmyass.com. Shitmyass.com. Shitmyass.com.
Shitmyass.com.
Shitmyass.com.
A tremendous piece of shit.
I just like to know who is going to register hot snakes on a plane. com.
You've already done it, haven't you?
No, I'm not.
You're full of shit.
I do not have that one. Of the
somebody grab it right now.
Dozens of domains. I do not have that one.
Does BigfootTookMyVirginity.com, does that still go to OBDM?
I might have let it lapse because no one ever used it.
Really? I'm surprised by that. Like, genuinely surprised by that. Well, you guys, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, on Rockfin and wherever the fuck else you listen. You know where to find us. You can find us at the places.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.